believer, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious kingdom bring.
Everybody. It is a beautiful day to be in the house of God. Amen. It's good to see everybody online as well. I hope you're having a wonderful weekend. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving celebration, and it's good to see everyone here at church today, wherever you may be. A few announcements as we get started. The first one is, if you're worshiping online, go ahead and put your prayer requests in now. We'll have prayer at the end of the worship service, so you can go and start listing those as you're able and as you desire to. The 2020 Angel Tree, got a couple of different ways to give this year for Christmas. The first one is that our homeless ministry, the Burrito Ministry, continues to need help with some things like batteries, AA's, AAA's, and also blankets if you find those. So we're collecting those. We're going to hand those out in our gift bags come Christmas time. So if that's something that you want to participate in, just bring batteries and blankets here, and we'll put them with a bunch and spread them out. The second way is we're getting gift cards for families to help with Christmas and help with Santa Claus and things. That's on a Sign Up Genius. You can find that if you go to signupgenius.com. You can find it at JenkinsChurchOutreach@gmail.com. Just search for that. You'll see this online. It's going to be posted now. What's that? It was down for a week or so. It's back up because we got a couple of 3-4 slots we still need to fill. So as you want to participate in that, and if you don't want to get on the online thing, come talk to me. We'll work it out. We'll make it happen. So that's going on as well. We're still doing the Christmas gift to the church. We have about $25,000, $26,000, give or take, to pay off the church, and it is done and finished. And so if that's something you want to participate in, just mark it for the building fund, and we'll get that taken care of, and Johnny will get the check written off, and we'll get the bank paid off. Yes, sir? Sure. He's ready to do it, I promise you. So thank you, Johnny, for spearheading and getting that going. Are there other announcements? Anything going on in the life of the church that we need to talk about? Anything else going on? As I read something a second, so normally what we do is we have a reading, and somebody comes up, and we have the Advent reading, because this is the beginning of Advent, by the way. Today is. And we have someone read it and give a little short thing and a prayer and all that. Well, there's nothing normal about 2020. And so let's do it different, if you don't mind. I'm gonna do just a short scripture reading. And as I read it, here's what I want you to do. And online, I want you all to participate in this as well. Start thinking about, what is hope in my life? If I were to say to you, hope is, what one sentence do you have that you could reply? Say, hope is this for me. Hope is blank. So as I read this scripture, that's what I hope you, get it, hope, think about for a moment. And then I'd love to hear your replies. Put them in online, because this Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, which represents the idea of hope, that we have been promised this hope. So here's a scripture reading, and if you don't say something afterwards, I look like an idiot just standing up here by myself. So help me out. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it as bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. So, church, if I say hope is, what do you have to say?
I
Hope is alive. Hope is alive. It's never dead. It continues on till tomorrow. Hope is alive. Hope is what?
Christ.
Hope is Christ. This idea that as there is Christ, there is always hope that there is something more, right? Something new. Hope is what?
Eternal.
Eternal? It never ends. It is something that continues. And here's the beautiful part about it. Even when we are pretty sure it's dead and go to the grave site to check on it, hope is alive. And it's eternal, yeah. What is hope to you?
Love.
Man, as long as there's that, brother. As long as there's that, we got a chance, right? Hope is love.
Forgiveness.
It's forgiveness. That there is something else. There is. It doesn't end here, right? Yeah. It's real? Yeah. So real, brother, that you can feel it down deep, right? Like in the worst moments of Lamentations, when I feel like my situation is wormwood and gone, it's all falling apart. Even in the midst of that, somewhere down deep, there's a fire, that there's something else, right? Anybody else?
Yeah.
It's always darkest right before the sunrise, Michael Qualls. Michael Qualls is one of the leaders in our denomination. I can't believe he's on right now. So good to see you, brother. I fish with him. That's what brings him back down to earth. Otherwise, he's something else, man. Good to see you, Qualls. Yeah, it's a new sunrise. It is something that in the darkest moments is right around the corner. Are there others? As we prepare for Advent, as we prepare for Christmas in Advent, one of the things that we're supposed to do is prepare. So I hope that what you do go out in this world, when you go out in this world, is look for the hope. Search out where hope is. Find where it's eternal. Find where it's alive. Find where the sunset occurs or sunrise occurs right before the darkest moments, where it's real, where you can feel it down deep inside, because that is the preparation. That's how we go forward looking for Christmas, is we search out hope. And so I hope that in this Advent that's what you do. Find hope wherever you can search it out. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, for this hope, we ask that you instill it in us. When we feel dead, when we feel like there's not any life left in us, when we don't feel eternal, when it doesn't feel real, when we don't think the sunrise is ever going to happen, Lord, we ask you to instill in us a moment of hope, just enough so that we can go look for it elsewhere. Lord, we know what it feels like. We know what it is, but sometimes it just gets a little overbearing, and all we need is a little bit of direction to send us on the right path. So, Lord, we ask that hope blows at our back and propels us into the world, looking for it wherever it can be found. Lord, this morning in this worship service, we ask that you provide hope as we read scripture, as we hear songs, as we just exist in a worship service lifting up your name. We ask, God, that you provide us that hope and then send us out in the world showing it to others as well, giving them hope, sharing it with them, letting them know that hope is eternal. It's alive and it can be found in Jesus Christ. Gracious God, we thank you for the chance to worship, and we ask that you provide us a little bit of hope to take with us. And all of God's people said,
amen.
If the first one, or this one is as good as the last one, it's going to be wonderful. Thank you all so much for leading us in music.
I wonder, as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor ordinary people like you and like I wonder, as I wonder out under the sky. When Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow's stall, with wise men and farmers and shepherds and all. But high from God's heaven a light star did fall, the promise of ages it then did recall. If Jesus had wanted for any thing a star in the sky or a bird on the wing or all of God's angels in heaven to sing, he surely could have it, 'cause he was the King. I wonder, as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor ornery people like you and like I. I wonder, as I wonder,
as I was listening to that and thinking of our idea that our offering is not only what we do here, but is all that we do, all that we share, all that we are. As I was listening to that, one of the things I thought about was, here we have this baby in a manger. He should be nothing. He should be less than. He should be, it's just a baby in a stall, in a cow stall, right? That makes no sense. And yet this is the King. And in the midst of this, people who are wandering as they wander under the stars, those from the east who decided to come over, they could not help. They could not help but to bring everything they were to the foot of the King, right? The ones who were out in the shepherds, out in the fields, they had to leave everything behind and they had to go look for that, right? The wise men from the east, they couldn't stay where they were. They had to go look for it and take their gifts. And I wonder, as part of our offering into this world, as we go into the world offering who we are, I wonder if we thought about that scene, that manger scene, that need to have to go to the feet of the King to give what we have, if maybe that would propel us in the world to give everything that we've got. Just that one notion of the King, and I've just got to go see it. So I pray that as part of our offering, that's what we do. Search out for the King wherever we can find it, and then give everything that we are to that, and that will be our offering to the world. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious God, we want to search you out in every way we can. We want to find you wherever we can. We want to live in your way wherever we can. We want to give wherever we can to make sure that your kingdom is how you would have it be. And so, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to offer. We thank you, God, that you've called us to give to the church. You've called us to give to one another, to share what we have with each other so that we all make it through this life as best we can. We thank you, God, for that. So for these Christmas things we're doing, for the times when we help with people with bills and rent and those sorts of things, when we're able to go out and just help a friend because a friend needs help, we thank you, God, that you designed the world to be a world of an offering. So teach us, Lord, where our offerings are used best. Show us how to do it best, and we will make sure that we give to you by giving with each other. Lord, we thank you for these things, and God's people said, amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter. And it reads this way. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the household came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? And he answered, an enemy has done this. The slave said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, no, for in gathering the wheat, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them harvest, so that the both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the field. It is the smallest of all seeds, and when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make their nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. And Jesus told the crowds all these things in parable. Without a parable, he told them nothing. And this is what was to fulfill the spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth and speak in parables. I will proclaim what is hidden from the foundation of the world. And then he left the crowds. And he went into a house, and his disciples approached him, saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. And he answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. This is the weirdest moment that's ever happened in my life. That's not the scripture I did for this week. That's the one I sent Julie. But that ain't it. I would be embarrassed. But we're 6.5, 7 years in my ministry, and I've never done this, so why stop? You know, that seems like a pretty good run, doesn't it? That is hysterical. I don't know what happened, but that's not what I was going to preach on. Once in a while, Michael Qualls, this happens because you showed up. That's what... I don't know what it is. I don't know what happened. Doesn't matter. What's that?
It's always hot.
Interesting, that's what I'm preaching on. Imagine that. Julie, if you'd do me a favor as you look real quick, go to Lectionary, the Revised Common Lectionary.
Okay.
And tell me what the exact scripture is for the last one, if you would, for this week. Y'all just hang tight. This is hysterical. Yep, Revised Common Lectionary. 7 years in, I hadn't done it yet. That's a pretty good run. Now I'm going to have to do 7 more of doing it. Yep. Mark 13, not Matthew. 24-37?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is much more important for the day. Let's have 2 scripture readings, may we? Cool, it's just scripture. We should read it all day. Yeah, this makes so much more sense to my sermon, y'all. After that time, after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory. I told you it was better. And he will send out his angels to gather his chosen ones from all over the world and the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know summer is near. In the same way, when you see all the things taking place, you can know that his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene before all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. However, no one knows the day or time when these things will happen, and not even the angels or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And since you don't know when the time will come, be on guard. Stay alert. The coming of the Son of Man can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. When he left home, he gave each of his slaves instructions about the work they were to do, and he told the gatekeepers to watch for his return. You too must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the household will return. In the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. I say to you what I say to everyone. Stay awake. This is the word of God for the people of God. Both of them are. Here we are, church, Advent. Christmas. Nobody's allowed to gripe about Christmas songs anymore when you walk into a store because it's Christmas time. Not that anybody goes into stores anyway. By the way, Amazon should have an option on their website to listen to Christmas tunes. That'd be fantastic. It's even getting cold right in time. It's time to prepare for Christmas and every single good thing that comes with it. Christmas, in my humble opinion, is the best holiday season, and there's not even close a second. There's not a second, in fact. You can have the rest of the holidays. I'll take Christmas. I got a lot of good memories of Christmas. We all do, every one of us. I remember the basement, my grandmother and my grandfather's house when they lived in the church manse in Greensburg, Kentucky. The house was right next door to the church, and when you walked in the side door, you could go down the stairs right there beside the door, and it would go down to the basement, and that's where they always had the Christmas tree. And I was maybe a little guy, 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or whatever, and I remember going down there early on Christmas morning to see what Santa brought. One time there was a train set. One time there was a red helicopter, right, Mom? That's all I asked for that year was a red helicopter. And my mom went to every store in 2 states to show Santa Claus what that red helicopter looks like. My earliest memories of Christmas were in that place. And it feels good to remember that. You know, what do you remember about Christmas? Back then and for many years after, we'd wake up on Christmas morning, we'd go to my grandmother's, at my grandmother's, and we'd do our Christmas thing there at grandmother's, and then we'd go to my great-grandparents' house where all the family would get together together. It was in a town called Center, Kentucky, which I promise you is the center of absolutely nowhere, and we would gather on the family farm, and the whole family would be there, and we'd have Christmas, and we'd have lunch first, and the cousins and the aunts and the uncles and around 20 of us would get together every year. It's what we always did. And they were all farmers, every one of them. Tobacco mostly, but really the main thing that they grew or that they farmed was dairy. They took me one time out on the farm and took me to the milking barn and the machines and all that, but there was a lot of mud and cow patties, and so I decided to go back to the house. I didn't like that part. But it was cool to have that whole family there, you know? I like remembering that. We always had a lunch that couldn't be beat. They were all country folks, so you know how we ate, right? And there, me and my cousins would sit at the little table, and I wouldn't mind sitting at that little table one more time. We'd open presents. Everybody drew a name back then, so there was somebody that didn't see me but once or twice a year that would always have to buy me a present, which is terribly hard, I came to realize later. I'd open it. I'd say thank you like I meant it, and then I'd go back and play with my cousins some more. About 2 o'clock, though, something interesting would happen. All the men would kind of stand up at the same time. There wouldn't be any coordination about it, but it was 2 o'clock, and 2 o'clock was when you went and milked the cows. And being that with 2 o'clock, even on Christmas Day, they would go to work. So they'd all just sort of stand up at the same time and get ready to go. Right there in the middle of Christmas, they'd put on their boots and their coats, and they'd go off to the fields and to the milking barn, and I didn't volunteer to help. It always confused me, you know? I was from town. I grew up where the only people that worked at the Speedway gas station. You know, nobody else went to work on Sunday, so I couldn't figure out why these farmers had to go work on Sunday. Take Christmas Day off, man. And it was for years before I realized that, you know, the cows might be in the field tomorrow, but they ain't going to be happy. And so they went. And then before long, it was time to wind down, and it was another Christmas. And like Christmases often are, they were absolutely beautiful, every one of them. What's your Christmas story? What do you remember? What stories make Christmas beautiful to you? I got one more I'll tell and I'll quit. Another story is this. When Philip was young, he was with me and the family every other Christmas Eve and in Christmas Day. And so when he was a young boy, 4, 5, 6, 7, I'd put him down on Christmas Eve in his bed and say goodnight, and then I'd leave the room. Well, grandmother had this little bell, you know, the ones that you kind of shake like that. And I'd go outside his bedroom window, and you know, inevitably every year, that's exactly when Santa Claus would show up. You could hear the jingle of the sleigh bells. Philip would yell, Dad, I hear Santa Claus, and I'd run back in the house, and I'd miss seeing Santa again. But Philip didn't just hear him. He saw Santa Claus. He always did. Santa and the reindeer were flying through the night, and Philip saw it every time. Not long after Philip grew old enough that Santa didn't make personal appearances to him anymore, Wes came along, and wouldn't you know it, Santa started showing up again. And I'd be outside every time, and never catch a glimpse of Santa, but Wes would hear him, and he'd yell out, Mom, and Suzanne would run in the room, I saw Santa, he was here, he was right there, and Suzanne would look, but it'd be too late. Dad, I saw Santa Claus. Now, I wouldn't trade those memories for $1 million. Maybe for two. I could buy more memories for $2 million. What's your Christmas story? What's your memory that you wouldn't trade for anything? What's the memory that makes you smile so big on the inside that you cry on the outside? We've got them, right? A Christmas Eve candlelight service that you were at. A family tradition. Driving around town looking at lights. Boiled custard. Eggnog for you heathens. Grandmother's peanut butter fudge. Whoever picked week one, by the way, of Advent, for the first time I'd bring up my grandmother's peanut butter fudge, you get the prize money. Christmas makes us remember those years, man. Loved ones that you were so happy you were there with. Seriously, you can have every single other holiday. I'll take Christmas. And here's the thing I've got to say this morning about that. Even as amazing as Christmas can be, even as exciting as it is, or how we look forward to it because we're going to build up more memories. Even as amazing as those memories are, even as important as our traditions are, as great as our Christmases have been, here's the thing about it. That's still not the best thing about Christmas. You can take every good memory we all have and you can pile them up in a real big pile and make it one memory big enough for everybody to access. You can do all that, and that's still not the best thing about this holiday. It's still not, because the best thing about Christmas is this. This is what we're preparing ourselves for. The promise of Christmas is that Jesus didn't just show up 2,000 years ago and then call it quits. Jesus wasn't just born, lived 33 years forever as a fine example to live by, and then disappeared. We're not just remembering Christmas past as we celebrate Christmas today. The promise of Christmas is that Jesus is always showing up in this world. Jesus is always being born into the world, always living out the will of God, until someday Jesus will come again and make things right once and for all. That's the promise of Christmas. It's not just a memory event of our family, as awesome as that is. That's not all there is. It's a promise, y'all, that we're not alone. Jesus is always being born into the world, and it's our joy, our privilege, our honor to watch every single moment that that happens. Church, we're supposed to keep awake because Christmas, God's birth into this world, can happen at any moment, and I never want to miss Jesus showing up. Amen. If Jesus shows up, I want to see it. And so our job is to just stay awake. I am one who believes that Jesus is always returning. That's what your pastor believes, and I am unashamed about it. I believe someday that there will be a culmination of all things where Jesus rides in on the clouds, or however you say it. I believe God will make things right. But I also don't believe Jesus. I don't believe God. I don't believe God's Spirit is beholden to any single moment where things are made right. I don't think it happened one time in Bethlehem and then that's just it until he triumphantly returns in the clouds. I believe Jesus is birthed into this world every single time that God's will is done. I believe that God's presence is liable to be born at any moment, in any place, and I praise God for that, and I'm going to be awake, man. But church, that means we have to be ready for it. Because if we're not, we may never see it at all. We have to be awake, and we have to be prepared, and so we live in Advent where we prepare ourselves for the presence of Christ. See, if I don't have to get ready for something, that hasn't happened in 2,000 years and doesn't look like it's going to happen for another 2,000 years, then I'm just going to say this: I'll probably procrastinate. Like if I was Noah, like the night before the cold front moved in, I'd be still slapping that thing together. And I don't figure it's going to happen tomorrow, this coming of Christ for the culmination of all things. And so I can just wait a while before I prepare myself for that. You see what I mean? But if I believe that Jesus might just show up in any moment, then I'm going to be ready because Jesus might decide that right now is a good moment to show up. And if I'm not awake, I might never know. And can you imagine how sad I would be if I missed Jesus showing up in this world? If I'm mesmerized by something else, if my attention is diverted from places other than where God might show up, I might miss it. I won't be awake, and that would be worse than missing the memories of Santa Claus ripping through Philip and Wes's night sky, you know? We need to be listening for it. We got to be... Y'all, Jesus might just show up. There's a lot to distract us, isn't there? There's so much in the world that can convince us to look at it instead of looking where we ought to be looking. The world blares. The world is loud. It yells. And sometimes it yells things that we think is good, but it's still yelling. And if it's yelling, it's hard to hear anything else, especially the call of Christ. Other stuff numbs us, and anything that numbs us keeps us from feeling things, including the feeling of God coming into this world. So we can't sleep. We just can't. It's too important. It's Jesus' birth we're talking about. It might not happen right this second, but it might happen today, and it might happen tomorrow too. That's the promise of Christmas and every other Christmas too. It's not a cue, Christmas is not, to remember the past, except to remember that 2,000 years ago that a child was born in a manger to some parents who had some rumors about him, in a land where the king wanted him dead, but who promised through his arrival that God will never, ever give up on us, that God would always be there for us, giving us everything we need to live a life that honors the one that created us. Christmas is the promise that God doesn't quit and that God is always going to be here, always saving us, always delivering us, and always giving us hope. And that's hope. That's what hope is. That's the hope we have that we're God's people and that God truly does love us. So church, it's Advent. Every year we have this season to prepare ourselves for Christ, for Christmas, for the coming of Christ. We prepare in other ways. We decorate our houses. We cook meals for the family. We sure shop. And that prepares for one part of Christmas. But the other part is just to keep awake. So how do we prepare? We prepare when we go to places that God showed up last time to. I mean, the best place to look for somebody is where they were last, right? We prepare as we read Scripture like we've never read it before. For the next 4 weeks, we make sure that we focus on exactly what Jesus looked like the last time he lived in this world, because we might see him there again. Maybe over these 4 weeks, we can pray that God shows us what a birthplace looks like so that we can know where Jesus might be born into. And then maybe over the next 4 weeks, we can be real intentional about making sure that if Jesus does show up in this world, that if there is a moment of God's will in any place that we have a chance to see it, that there's one group of people that are going to see it every time because we've prepared ourselves. We don't want to miss a single thing. This Christmas, church, I hope you enjoy the memories, and I pray you enjoy your traditions. Enjoy every single moment because, like we all know, man, time is absolutely precious. It really is. The best memories come from Christmas. But I beg you, don't stop there. Know that this Christmas is a promise that there will be forever be Christmases. In December, Christmases in July, and in every other moment, in every other place, in every other time that this world has to offer, God is going to show up and will continue showing up until once and for all things are set right. But in the meantime, it's simply a promise. And Jesus made that promise. And it is by far the best thing about Christmas. And God's people said, amen. We have one more song for our wonderful leaders to lead us in. And as you do, maybe it's time to start praying. Lord, how do I prepare for this Christmas? What do I do to make sure that I know that promise is there?
Angels, we have heard on high, sweet. Reply. May the tidings be which inspire your heavenly song. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Prayer request that came in online from Sharon Gardner. She asked prayers for Kayla Edmondson, maybe Bribbe, B-R-I-B-E-E, who was injured in a horse riding accident. So we need to be in prayers for Kayla and healing. For Chuck Simpson, a brother-in-law, for back surgery. A.D. And Mary Rudolph asked for continued prayers for the Reverend Doug Hughes. It's good to see you all, A.D. and Mary, online. From Michael Haybaker, the Haybaker family, prayers for Tim as well, their son Tim. Are there other prayers, other people we need to be in prayer for this morning? Yes, Suzanne.
Dennis Caverney.
Maybe pray for Dennis as he's been diagnosed with ALS. Yeah. Are there others this morning we need to be in prayer for? Yeah. For Julie McDade. This is part of your family. Being taken off of life support but due to COVID complications. And so we are absolutely in prayer for Julie and her family in this terrible, terrible time. Yes. Are there others in prayer for this morning? Yes, sir. Yeah, Miss Cindy and Miss Deborah's two-year-old class. This is who we're praying for this morning. And I can't see quite the side of it. We can pray for Bran. I don't think that's his whole name, though. A few technical difficulties. We're going to blame it on the tryptophan of the turkey this week, I think. Well, pray for Miss Cindy and Miss Deborah's class. We'll post this online too, so you can access it there. But I hope you pray for this class throughout the week. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for this morning?
Turco family.
I'm sorry, keep the Turco family absolutely in our prayers. Yes. Yes, the whole Turco family. Any others? Let's go to God again in prayer. Lord, we thank you for hope. We recognize, Lord, that you are born into this world in every moment, that there's nothing that happens that you're not a part of. And so we thank you, God, for that, and it allows us in confidence to turn to you in prayer. We recognize, Lord, that not every prayer is answered as we would have it answered. We know that, God. But we also know that you are at work in the world. And so we pray to you so that you might might interject into the intercess into these situations, but also that you might change us so that we know how to live in these situations. So for the Reverend Doug Hughes, we ask for healing and ask for you to instill in whoever is around the Reverend to be able to help that family out. For Tim, Lord, we lift him up and for how we can help Tim, we ask, Lord, that you speak to us. For Kayla Edmondson, Kayla, and for Chuck and these injuries and challenges, Lord, we ask that you put a support system around these folks that cares for them and loves them and helps them. For the Turcos, Lord, we just ask for blessings for the whole family as they've dealt with a multitude of situations lately, Lord, and we can't imagine how heavy that weighs in a holiday season. And Lord, we pray for Julie and her family in this difficult time where she's being pulled off life support because of this horrible illness. Lord, we ask for blessings for her family and understanding and patience and all kinds of things that they'll need, courage that they'll need in this time. We ask for these things for all these people, Lord, because we know you're the great giver. We know that you bless us and love us. And when we turn to you, Lord, it makes us feel better because we know that we're not alone, that we have hope, that down deep inside of that feeling burns, that notion that this never quits, and so that there's always a sunrise in the morning. Lord, we thank you for those things because we desperately, desperately need that hope. We thank you, Lord, for giving it. And Lord, we ask that you bless us as we leave here, allowing us to go find hope wherever it exists in this world. And all of God's people said, amen. So go in love, go in joy, go in peace, go in grace, and go in mercy, and know that hope and Christ are out there, and all we got to go do is find it. And Lord, release us from this place, but never from you. And all of God's people said, amen. It's good to see you all. Love you dearly. And by the way, I heard yesterday, that vaccines are being flown around the world. It is almost time for that. So pray for all those who are going to be vaccinating soon and going through that process. That'll be a big change in our world. So be in prayer for that too. God bless you all. See y'all.